All right. Thank you, Brother Reynolds. Get your Bible and turn to John chapter number 8. John chapter 8. Brother Love, you're going to have to forgive him. He's just getting old, and he really thought he sent you that memo. He really did. So just to be patient, you know, and be kind, all right? But that was worth the trip. Amen. That was worth the trip. I was sitting there at the pastor, and he said, "What? Psalms 22 here. What?" Amen. Now, we're going to have to get serious. We are going to be in John chapter 8, and we're going to be looking and reading, beginning in verse number 1, if we may, through verse 11. And it seems to me that that kind of sets the tone for the message that's delivered in this chapter. Brother Sears, we had the opportunity to spend some time with him this morning, and he was telling me how well things began yesterday and this morning and all that, and we're glad for it. And I'm looking forward to being here the remainder of this week. About the 1st of January, I started checking my calendar. I said, "Now, when's this conference? Next week?" "No, it's not next week." Middle of January, I checked again. It wasn't next week. End of February, I checked again, all right? Preacher talked about a long, hard winter. It's been a difficult time. But right now, the blessings come. It's about 72 degrees, and the trees are blooming. Everything's blooming out, and it's springtime in Indiana. The plows are in the field, and the dust and all the pollen's coming down, and it's just springtime in Indiana, all right? You always got to have something to complain about, don't you? John chapter 8, verse number 1. Jesus went out into the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when you read this, this is one of the saddest, heartbreaking scenes probably in the Bible. If you just imagine this woman that is not being treated with any kindness or any compassion. And to be very honest, they didn't bring her to Jesus to see her get saved. They brought her to Jesus to see her condemned. And they were all just anticipating the ugliness that was to follow. And when they had set her in the midst, can you just sense the joy they were having in this? Exposing her sin and just gloating in their judgmental righteousness. And they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Can you imagine a bunch of preachers seeking out a place they could find this going on? Kicking the door in and dragging her. And you know what? They didn't bring the man. Just, we've got it. Planning it. Brought her. Set her in the very midst. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? That's the title of my message tonight. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I like that response. Isn't it good? He just ignored them. And bent down and began to write something on the ground. And when they continuing asking him, "Hey, we ask you something. We're talking to you. What do you say? Come on, let's hear it. What's your judgment?" He lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down. Now, the hollering for an answer has stopped. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. They just began to thin out when he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And isn't it amazing how quiet you can get when guilt comes? All of a sudden, they're not crying out, stoner. They're saying, excuse me, I've got a dentist appointment. I've got to go. I'm going to have to slip out. You fellas take over now and I'll... And went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. I'm glad Brother Reynolds wasn't there. He'd been the first one to leave. Thank you, Jesus. Beginning at the eldest, went out even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, just him and the woman. The woman standing in the midst. I bet she is the most dejected, hurting, embarrassed person that's ever been. When Jesus had lifted himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man picked up a stone. Nobody said, I'm qualified. I can do this. She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Talking about tonight, that question, that phrase, what sayest thou? If I could just kind of add a little bit to the statement here, it seems as though these men are saying, we know what we think of sinners. We know what Moses said. Now, Jesus, what do you think of sinners? And he begins to tell them through the rest of this chapter. Let's look and we'll let you be excused. First of all, I believe he told them that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we read verse 8, he stooped down, he wrote on the ground. We don't know what he said, but whatever he wrote on the ground convicted them. And Jesus kind of looked up and said, hey, we got more than one sinner here today. And every one of them, when they saw what was written, we could speculate forever. What did he write? I've heard men try to pretty well nail it down, but I don't think it's something that can be a conclusion come to. But he may have wrote the Ten Commandments. He may have, someone said he wrote down everybody's name that had been with that woman. I don't know what he wrote down, but it brought conviction to their heart, and they decided, not only is she a sinner, but I'm a sinner also. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's amazing how hard it is sometimes to get people to understand they're lost. They're sinners. Because they just don't accept that term very well. This woman had someone looked at her and said, go ahead and admit it. You're a sinner, aren't you? She'd have said, yes, sir, I am. But these Pharisees thought that they were above sin. And yet, every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I love that term there in Romans, when he says it's come short of the glory. I'm sure you've been taught this and you know it, but it's an archer's term. And if we were to set up a target over here that had a bullseye on it, and then we stepped off 20 paces, and the archer shot, every arrow would come short of the target. Every arrow would fall short. And that's what he's saying. We've all sinned. The demands of God, the target of God, is absolute perfection. And if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be as perfect as God is. And every man's life has fallen short of the demands of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I had a gentleman come to me several years ago. His wife had passed away. And several years later, he was seeing this lady, very gracious lady. She was about his age and educated and well-kept, attractive, classy girl. We call them high maintenance. She came to church with him several times and just presented herself well and spoke to me very respectfully and all. And finally, one day he came to me and he said, "Will you talk to her?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I have beat my head against the wall trying to help her get saved, and she doesn't understand she needs to get saved." And I said, "Well, let's go back and sit down and talk to her in the office." And went back there, and she sat there very, just as dignified and cultured as can be. And I told her, "I understand you can't understand your need for salvation." She looked at me and she said, "Sir, you don't know me at all, but I want you to know something right now. I live a life that I am not ashamed of. You can check with any of my neighbors. You can talk to my friends. You can go anywhere I go and ask them. And I don't think you're going to be able to point a finger at me and tell me how bad I am." And I thought, she is high maintenance. I said, "Okay, you are evaluating yourself by your friends. You're evaluating yourself by the people you're around, the culture that and society you're in. You're evaluating yourself, and what you're determining is that you're as good, if not better," and I looked at the fellow she was dating, "if not better than most people you're around." She said, "That's probably where I'm at." And I said, "But the thing you've got to understand is this. You don't have to be as good as they are to go to heaven. You have to be as good as God is to go to heaven." And I spoke to her of the righteousness of Christ and how that the only way we could go to heaven, if we had one blemish on our record, if we have one blemish. And I just give her that illustration of the target that the arrows fall short and can't reach, and it's always coming short. If you are lifting your reputation and your lifestyle up beside of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you not think you're coming short? She said, "Of course I would if I'm compared to Jesus." I said, "Bingo. That's why you need to be saved." And she got saved. Amen. Here he's saying, "Hey, fellas, you brought in an obvious sinner. You may not be so obvious, but you need to be saved just as bad as she does." Amen. I was listening to a fellow preach one time in a preacher's fellowship, and he read the text. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. Established, you know, the Psalm verse there. And he said, let me tell you about the horrible pit God lifted me up out of. He said it was velvet lined. It was beautiful. It was wealthy. He lifted me up out of the pit of religion. He said he didn't lift me up out of a drunkard's pit. But my feet was just on the miry clay as much as the drunkard. But my pit was velvet lined. We had one lady here whose pit was ugly and wicked and awful, and we had others whose pit was velvet lined. But God's able, thank the Lord, to lift everybody up out of whatever pit they're in. Verse 8 is telling us all have sinned. Look at verse 23, if you would. Verse 23 says, "And then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Will he kill himself?" And verse 22, "Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he saith unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world. I'm not of this world. I say it therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. My second thought is this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's what he was preaching to them. You're going to die in your sins. The wages of your sin is not a few months in purgatory. Amen. The wages of your sin is not some temporary punishment. The wages of your sin is eternal separation from God. All of sin. Does this sound familiar? This is the Romans Road. All of sin to come short of the glory of God. Pharisees, you sin. And I'm telling you this, if you don't believe on me, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell forever. Had someone in our church recently, and I preached on hell. They come to me, the visitor said, I haven't heard a message on hell. I can't remember when. Can I tell you something? It's still real. Amen. It's still eternal. It's still forever. It's still awful. It hasn't cooled off. It hadn't been air conditioned. There's no G4 technology there. It's hell. He told these Pharisees, if you don't receive me as your Savior, you're going to die in your sin. The preacher's message tonight, the only thing that can cleanse that sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing else can do it. Nothing else has that strength. Nothing else has that power. But I'm awfully glad that when He cleanses us, then we're sealed and no more sin can reach that God has saved. Amen. I had a lady one time, and she was questioning that thought. And I said, preacher, after you're saved, you're going to sin. And you know, if you got to be perfect to go to heaven, that shot that. And I said, well, let me help you here. And not so much now, but back then, your driver's license was encased in a little plastic envelope. You know what I mean? Clear, and you could see through it, but your driver's license was laminated inside of that. And I took mine out, and I showed it to her, and I said, can you see whose picture that is? She said, of course, it's you. And I said, you know, the day I got that, that was just so clear and distinct, and just, it was just shiny and bright and just great, even though it was my picture. And she said, okay, I understand that. But I said, look at it now. I said, I've drugged that thing in and out of my pocketbook in the airport so long, you can't hardly see the picture in it. It's scarred up, it's scratched, it's dog-eared on the edges, and there's still this good-looking guy in there. And she said, show me that again. I said, listen, I'm preaching right now. I said, you know what I could do? I could break that lamination apart and pull it. And that picture that was laminated in there would be just as bright and clear and perfect as the day it was put in there. Amen. Now, when we get saved, we're sealed by the Spirit of God. And yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we falter. Yes, we fall. We get some scars. We get a little dog ear. We get... But that's sealed on the inside is just as perfect as the day it was put in there. Amen. And one of these days, that dog-eared, scarred up lamination's going to be left in the ground, and God's going to call that He saved and sealed to come up. We're going to go and be with Him. The wages of sin is death. Look down in verse number 28, if you would. Then said Jesus unto them. Now, they asked for it. What say ye? And man, he lets them have it. Then said Jesus, he's given them more than they wanted, I believe. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. By the way, they knew what he was referring to. We're just very, very close to the last week of Christ's life in John. First half of the Gospel of John is the entire life of Christ up to the last week. And from chapter 12 on through the whole book is the last 7 days of the life of Christ. They knew what he was referring to. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Thirdly, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I'm lifted up, you're going to understand. When I'm lifted up, the job's going to be accomplished. When I'm lifted up and I declare it is finished, it'll be done. It'll be done. God's going to commend his love toward you, while you're yet sinners, I'm going to be lifted up for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to have placed upon me not only this lady's sin, but I'm going to die for your sin. I'm going to take the death that you think she's justified to receive. I'm going to take hers, and I'm going to take yours. Going to take yours. God commended his love. He says, that's me. Look at verse 51, if you would. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he says, if a man keeps my saying, if a man receives, he was saying to these people, if you'll listen to me, if you will obey me, if you'll respond to what I'm giving you, you're going to have eternal life. You will never die. The gift of God. When I'm speaking to someone personally and one-on-one, I love to take that text that says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I like to look at people and say, you know, you're a working person, aren't you? You go out and you work and you get paid, yeah? We know what wages are. Wages are payday. Yeah. God says, the payday for your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you want the payday you got coming? Or do you want the gift that is of the grace of God? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You got 3 brain cells. You ought to be able to make a decision right there. Now we've already gotten past the argument, well, I don't deserve the wages of my sin wouldn't be that. No, we're past that. We've already decided that you're a sinner. The Pharisees are being instructed in that. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up. For your sin. And if you don't listen and get saved, you're going to die in your sin. But if you'll receive my sayings, if you'll receive my sayings, you'll have eternal life. Amen. I just love that. I just love that. Let's go on. We're not turning to John, but we're going to quote Romans. When it comes down to the end of the ministry here of the disciples, Jesus with the Pharisees, he doesn't give the invitation that he gives to us. when all this has been accomplished. And he says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That kind of ends up and concludes the Romans road. I love it if you just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart. We had a young lady come to Easter service. I didn't see her. I wasn't introduced to her. I'm thinking she's probably 30 years old. And one of the men there in the church and family that had encouraged her, invited her to come. And she was there, Easter. I didn't know this until yesterday. And the fellow who was responsible for having her there as a visitor came to me and said, Pastor, I had this woman come to church with us yesterday or last Sunday, and boy, she really got under conviction. She didn't get saved. She said she was scared to come forward. But she's really under conviction. Been asking me a lot of questions. And she's going to be back here this morning. And do you think you could talk to her? I said, let me pray about it. Yeah. You introduce her to me. And so early in the service, probably 20 minutes before church time, here he come. He said, this is, can't remember, I'll have her name in a minute. Cammy was her name. I called her Annie. So I called her something, but that wasn't her name. Getting worse than John Reynolds now. And I shook hands with her and I said, Brother Craig told me that you were here last week. She said, yes, I was. And she was very intimidated, very quiet and backward. And I said, well, Brother Greg said you've been asking some questions this week. She said, yes, I have. And I said, well, would you like this morning to sit down and let us talk? She said, I don't know about that, but I want to get saved. And I said, okay, let's just forget about the chit-chat and get down to it. And so I began to, Carolyn! And I started calling for my wife and people trying to say hello. And I had this girl by the hand and I was hunting. Finally, I found her in the nursery somewhere. I said, come here. She said, what is it? I said, come here. This young lady wants to get saved. And she went inside and received Christ as her Savior. She came forward in the invitation then, and just to make it public and let everybody know. And I asked her, I said, honey, did you trust Christ as your Savior this morning? She said, yes, sir, I did. I said, did you mean it in your heart? She said, yes, sir, I did. I said, that's all I did. That's all he did. That's all anybody can do, is mean it in your heart. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, now let me ask you, did you call on the name of the Lord? She said, yes, sir. I prayed with Miss Carolyn. I said, all right. Did you mean it in your heart? She said, yes, sir, I mean it. I said, then what happened? And you could see her start searching for, I'm saved. I said, you're right. You're right. Started out with a desire to embarrass and hurt and entrap, to embarrass and hurt the lady and entrap the Lord, and trying to find a way that they could accuse him of rejecting the words of Moses. And it ended up with the woman getting saved. I believe that. It ended up with the Pharisees finding out what they really needed. It ended up in a great evangelistic message from our Savior. That, to me, is what John in chapter number 8 is all about. Amen. Pastor, come right here.